We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Hello, my name's Bob. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You know, I try and greet you a little bit different every day just so that you don't fall into boredom and just zone out on me here. But I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God for 23 and a half years, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that. Today, if you would, pray for me. I'm back doing the boys ministry on Wednesday nights for about 2 months. And so if you would hold me up in prayer, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. I ask you that seriously. When I was doing the Bible stories before, our previous children's minister, he would interpret for me. I thought I spoke in pretty simplistic terms, but he would take what I would said and he would bring it down another level or another two levels, and he'd get it down to the level the boys could understand. And so it's the only time in my life I've ever preached with an interpreter, and I never left Merritt Island. Pray for us and for our boys. We love our boys, and we just want to make sure that they have every opportunity to grow and become the men of God that God wants them to be. So that'll take place 6 o'clock tonight. The food starts 6:30. The classes start. We're done at 7:45, and that's when the basketball starts and all sorts of fun things take place out in the parking lot. And so pray for our kids this summer and pray for our youth and children's ministers as they are ministering to children in foreign countries. So I want to take you back to Isaiah chapter 19 today. Isaiah chapter 19, and we're setting up the condition of where, when God comes into Egypt, what will happen to those who are not looking to him. And so in verse number 5, it says, "The waters will fail from the sea, and the river will be wasted and dried up. The rivers will turn foul. The brooks of defense will be emptied and dried up. The reeds and rushes will wither. The papyrus reeds by the river, by the mouth of the river, and everything sown by the river will wither, be driven away, and be no more. The fishermen also will mourn. All those will lament who cast hooks into the river, and they will languish who spread nets on the waters. Moreover, those who work in fine flax and those who weave fine fabric will be ashamed, and its foundations will be broken. All who make wages will be troubled of soul." And so when God comes in to purge the land of its idolatry, of things that the society is based on other than him, what he says gets people's attention is when there is environmental and economic collapse, because that's really what is being described in an agrarian society when you start talking about the water supply drying up, when you start talking about agricultural failure, when you start talking about sea life failing, those people who earn their living catching fish. It says that those who were in the textile industry, who manufactured things, that there would be failure there. And it says, and its foundations will be broken. A long time ago, an artist was commissioned. I don't know the name. I just remember seeing the painting. An artist was commissioned to paint a portrait of what a dying church looked like. Okay, that was the task. Paint a portrait of a dying church. And so the artist said, okay. And so he went and he sought direction, and he came back and he presented to the people who had commissioned him to paint a dying church. He presented him this portrait of a beautiful building, a well-manicured parking lot. Everything was pristine, and they were quite bewildered. And they said, we commissioned you to paint a picture of a dying church. This picture, or this portrait, looks very much like a healthy church. And he said, I painted the picture of a dying church. And he said, and I've painted it. And when you find the message, then you will understand. Then you will understand. And with that, he left, and they looked at the picture, and finally someone noticed that the foundation was cracked, that there was a crack, and it was growing, and it started with an improper foundation. And here in Isaiah chapter 19, it says, and its foundations will be broken. Any building, any structure that does not have a proper foundation is in danger of collapse. With that being said, we've talked about the core of your existence. What does your spiritual foundation look like? If you look back at your life, if you will look at the issues that you struggle with over and over and over again, I believe that if you will look a little bit deeper, you will find that there is a flaw in your foundation, or there was a flaw in your foundation that manifests to the failure of your physical, your spiritual, your mental, or your emotional needs. It all goes back to your foundation. Jesus, when he was telling about the houses that were built and the storm came, the only difference between the two houses, the one that collapsed and the one that stood, was the one that withstood the storm had a foundation that kept the house grounded. The other house was built upon sand, and when the storm came, what the house was built upon eroded, and the house collapsed, and great was the fall of it. Jesus and the Word of God have to be the foundation. If it's not the foundation of your church, listen, I thank God for the people who come to our church. I told you recently how excited I was to see that there are more people who have been coming to Merit Assembly of God in the past 5 to 10 years than any of the other decades that are represented. The church goes all the way back to the 50s, so we didn't have anybody from the 50s. We did have one person from the 70s, one person, that same person. Well, there were a few other people from the 80s, several from the 90s, a few from the 2000s, but a bunch since 2010. But the church isn't built on a foundation of me. It's not on the foundation of Bob. I'm a tool. I am a servant of God to operate in authority and under the direction of the Lordship. But the foundation of Merit Assembly of God is the Word of God. That's what I preach. I preach the Word. I preach Jesus, him crucified, him ascended to the right hand of the Father, exalted on high. I preach Jesus. So, you know, through the years I've been there, and I've known a lot of churches, and some have said, you know, I came in and the church was only running a few, and you know, now we're running into the thousands. And I was like, well, what did you do? And they said, I preach the Word. And I said, well, I'm doing that. And you know, it took me a while to realize that many of those churches had been large, and then they had gone into a season of disruption or chaos, and then somebody came in and they started preaching the Word again. And when they did, the church came back to its thriving condition. I'm just thankful that God called me to share his message of love and grace and forgiveness and power. And so I want everybody's, men, I want your life built upon the foundation of God's word, not on your looks, not on your finances, not on your education, not on your abilities. I don't want your homes built on all of that. It has to be on the foundation of God's word. And so here in Egypt, it said that Egypt's foundations were broken. And here is I've got a note written in my Bible. It says, this is an interesting verse, verse 10, and its foundations will be broken, and all who make wages will be troubled of soul. All who make wages will be troubled of soul. You see, not everybody gets a paycheck. There are some people who own companies. There are some people who are investors. They don't necessarily earn their money. They invest it. It talks about here when, I don't know if you've ever been there. I have, and that is where you're living paycheck to paycheck. And sometimes you're living half paycheck to half paycheck. If two of you are working in the household, you're thankful if your paychecks are staggered. That way the gap in between the two isn't very severe. Most of America is in such financial condition that if there was a financial emergency where they skipped a paycheck, they would be on the brink of devastation. And here's the thing. When you live on such a precarious cliff like that, it can affect other areas of your life. All of a sudden, it's easy to fall prey to anxiety. All of a sudden, it's easy to embrace the, say, well, I can't afford to give to God. Here's what I tell people who say that they cannot afford to give to God. And I don't say this just because of the position that we are in as a church now. I said it when I was in the position where I couldn't afford to give to God. And that is this: I couldn't afford not to. I couldn't afford not to. There's a person that said, I'm so busy, I don't have time to study God's word and pray. And a person responded, he said, I'm so busy that I don't have time not to. See, we need to make sure that we are sharpened by the word of God. We need to make sure that we are oiled by his presence to be an effective tool. We need the word and we need his presence in our life. I believe we would go throughout our day in an entirely different emotional state if we spent some time in God's word and in God's presence. I believe it would transform our days. Instead of being troubled of soul because of all of the problems that seem to be caving in and overwhelming us, instead of that, we would find that God is a sure foundation, that he is a rock, that he is our refuge in a time of storm. He is an anchor for our soul. Let's make sure that our biblical foundation is in place. So we talked a little bit about the foolish council that had surrounded the government. Remember, it says the princes of Zoan have become fools. Surely, in verse number 11, surely the princes of Zoan are fools. Pharaoh's wise counselors give foolish counsel. Well, who do Pharaoh's counselors give counsel to? They give counsel to Pharaoh. And folks, we need to pray for our country that they are not surrounded by educated economic counselors, and that they are not just surrounded by, what's the word that's so in vogue now? The establishment counselors, people who are looking to maintain the status quo. But we need people who will provide godly spiritual counsel. And I tell you what, the very thought of that scares most of America. What do you mean? We have a president who needs counsel from God? Well, we need a different president then. No, every president needs the counsel from God. Every judge needs God's counsel. Every governor, every congressional representative, all of them need God's counsel. Whether you're not in politics at all, you need the counsel of God. You need the counsel of God. And so we need wise, spiritually wise people who are advising and giving counsel to our political leaders. Here's what I believe. Most people live their life with their flesh, their will, and their emotions dictating the terms of life to their spirit, when in reality, it should be our spiritual well-being that is dictating the terms of what we think, of how we feel, and how we conduct our life. That's spiritual wisdom. It says, I'm going to get the eternal right first, and it is going to manifest into my here and now. I'm not going to focus on the here and now with the hopes that it's going to change my eternity. I'm going to focus on eternity now, and it will begin to manifest. Right now is part of eternity. But eternity is so much bigger than right now. So don't get short-sighted. Instead, let's pray that our pastors, that our board members, our deacons, our elders, let's pray that those in spiritual leadership are receiving spiritual counsel, and that we're not falling or following deceiving spirits. It says in verse 14 that Egypt, the Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst, and they have caused Egypt to err in all her work. Interesting phrase. The Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst. Okay. Mingled speaks of a mixture where there's, where there may be part truth and there may be part error. A few weeks ago I was preaching on purity and I had a bottle of water and I said, how many of you would drink this bottle of water? If it was unopened, I had already drank it. And I said, if this was an unopened bottle of water, fresh from the factory, how many of you would want to drink this bottle of water? And just about everybody was okay drinking that. And then I took a drink of it and I said, now how many of you, after I have had a drink out of it, would want a drink of it? And very few people wanted that. You know why? Because now it's no longer in that condition of purity, of sanity. It's not sanitized the way that it was. It's not purified to the same extent it was, because no matter how careful I was, whether I held it away from my mouth and I exhaled into it, or whether it just touched my lips, now it was perverse. It wasn't pure anymore. Even though I'd brushed my teeth, nobody wanted that. And I wouldn't want to drink after them either. I would have to be extremely, extremely desperate in order for that to be a reality. And here, God is describing not an impure bottle of water, but spiritual perversion. Spiritual perversion, where there are elements of truth while rejecting other elements and bringing and allowing elements of error. And it says that spiritual perversity in our midst, allowing it to exist in our being, allowing it to exist in our communities or in our government or in our society as a whole, that brings about error in everything we do. Okay? Spiritual truth is not like sitting at a spiritual buffet and say, well, I will have a little bit of Hinduism, and I will have a little bit of Confucianism, and I'll have a little bit of Buddhism over here, and I will have a little bit of Islam, and I'll have a little bit of Christianity, and I'll have a little bit of atheism, and a little. It's not like that. It's not a pick and choose buffet. Make sure that you do what God says, and that is this: taste and see that the Lord is good. That doesn't mean that those other people are to be treated as my enemies. They are supposed to be prayed for as potential recipients of the grace of Almighty God. Does that mean that everything that is in them is evil? Not necessarily. It just might not be. It might be perverse. It might not be. God may have something better. God might have something better. And so I want to maintain my spiritual household with spiritual truth. Now here's the reality. And I've seen this, and I'm not talking about anybody right now other than Assemblies of God people that I have known. And that is this, that they maintain a principle of truth, and then all of a sudden a family member gets involved in something that doesn't line up with the Word of God. And I have seen way too many of people that are in my fellowship. So I'm not pointing fingers at anybody else. I'm just saying too many people, they change their theology to match their conditions. Folks, that is perverse. My circumstances do not change the truth of God's word. God's truth changes the word, or changes the circumstances and the situations that I face in my life. Don't allow spiritual half-truths or spiritual untruths to coexist with the truth of God's word. The scripture says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So make sure when you examine something, say, well, let's go to the Word of God and see what it says. You know, that's what we're supposed to do when people operate in spiritual gifts in our services. What does the Word of God have to say about it? If it doesn't line up, because the devil is constantly trying to infiltrate the body of Christ. He is coming, you know, the Bible describes angels masquerading as angels of, or demons masquerading as angels of light, that wolves come in sheep's clothing. He's constantly trying to infiltrate the body of Christ and water down God's truth. And folks, no revival has ever come because of half-truths or half-revelations where the standard of God's word has been lowered. Revival comes when the Word of God is elevated back to its proper place. What's its proper place? God said, "I have exalted my name and my word above all else." I've exalted my word above any circumstance, any philosophy, any hardship. God's word stands alone. God's word stands as the authority. And anything else will lead you to error. It'll lead you to disaster. And it says, the Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst. There's that third midst problem there, spiritual problem at the very core. And they have caused Egypt to err in all her work as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. That is just gross. Neither will there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, palm branch or bulrush may do. He said, there's going to be complete and total unemployment. That's horrible. Do you realize that right now that there are more people without jobs in America than in recent history? Just a tremendous number of people who have given up hopes of doing anything productive. And let me just say, find something to put your hand to. Do something. God wants you to do something. If you do not have physical capabilities, I know some people who are paraplegic and quadriplegic, but find something. Use your brain for something. Become an advisor to your kids. if nothing else, be an intercessor and pray for the church. If you can't do anything else, I don't want you to think that you are without purpose. You are set up to be one of God's most effective prayer warriors. Come constantly before the throne of grace. If you don't have anyone else to pray for me. Pray for Merit Assembly of God, that God would bless us. And so I pray that effectual doors of ministry would open. So find something to do. In verse number 16, it says, "In that day, Egypt will be like women and will be afraid and fear because of the waving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he waves over it." And that's probably going to be where we end up stopping for today as we touch on this point. Because do you see what happens is just the presence of God's hand, just a waving, just a moving of his hand over a culture or over a society can bring it to its knees. I am thankful for the nail-pierced hands of God. I am thankful that God moves by his mighty hand. I've told you before about the man who wrote me a letter, and he said, since I got your note, the strong hand of the Lord has been upon me. And today, folks, I want you to know that when you are in the grip of God's grace, there is nothing, no creature who can pry you loose from his amazing hand. Today, we're going to close and we're going to ask God to wave his hand, if you will, over our land. You know, a lot of times when we're at church, I'll just raise up my hand and I will pray. And as I'm praying, I'll just move my hand over the congregation. It doesn't really have any physical effect, but I know this, when God moves his hand, things happen. Let's close in prayer with that today, shall we? Father, we just come to you right now. And we pray, God, Lord, we realize that some of the conditions that are described here in Isaiah chapter 19, we're living with. There's discord and strife. There's foolishness. There's spiritual perversity that is going on. And there is a tremendous number of people who are unable to find work to do. God, we need a change. And we need you to move your hand. We need your presence in our midst. God, would you wave your hand over America? Would your will be done? Lord, would you brush back the enemies? And would you bring healing to our land? God bless you. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."